And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is news. Each of my guests is an expert in his field and is giving us the uncensored news. My next guest is the leader of Project Censored, and he's also the author of Censored 2010. We'll discuss the top 25 censored stories between the years 2008-2009. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to ask a question of my guest, you can always call me at 639-0008. Mickey Huff is Associate Professor of History at Diablo Valley College. He's the Associate Director of the Media Freedom Foundation and Project Censored. Mickey teaches courses in U.S. media history, sociology of media and censorship, propaganda and media studies, critical thinking concerning 9/11, and the American Empire and popular culture. Mickey's most recent book is titled Censored 2010, which he co-authored with Dr. Peter Philip. An updated version of the book, Censored 2012, will be published later this year. Mickey is also a musician and composer of over 20 years and lives with his family just outside of Berkeley, California. And joining us from Berkeley, hi, Mickey. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on, and I love talking to subject matter experts like yourself. So let's just jump right into it. I mean, the censored organization and your books all, you know, throw darts at the media. So what are some of the key issues in the way in which the news is being reported by the media today?
Well, when we use the term media, we usually say corporate media, specifically to talk about what most folks refer to as the mainstream media or so-called mainstream media.
Uh-huh.
And what we argue mostly, which isn't much different than many media scholars, is that, you know, what people refer to as mainstream is actually corporate generated. It's basically controlled by about a handful, half a dozen major corporations for profit. And one of the considerations, of course, and news organizations, even corporate news organizations, is certainly to report things to the public, but it's not always based on telling the public everything that might be going on in terms of what all the facts are. There are other motives, other potential agendas. And when we talk about censorship at Project Censored, what we're referring to is basically anything that interferes with the free flow of information in our society, because we purport to have a free press. We have the First Amendment, which protects the free press, because it's very important for the public to have accurate information in order for them to meaningfully participate in the democratic process.
Right.
So in a nutshell, that's what we try to do, is we try to highlight underreported or undercovered stories, or stories even that may be covered in the corporate media, but they're not covered in their entirety, and we think the public has a right to know.
All right, and that seems very fair and very noble, but tell me, over the past 100 years, how is the landscape with mainstream media different today than it was 100 years ago? 100 years ago, you had paper barons that were run by Hearst and the Chandlers, and they dominated the media, and there were really a handful of people that owned newspapers. There was no television, and there was very little radio at that time, because radio was just starting to catch on. So how is the landscape different today, 100 years later, than it was at the beginning of the 20th century?
You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because over 100 years ago, we had the phenomenon rising through the Hearst and Pulitzer papal rivalries in New York and so forth. Specifically, we had the rise of what was called yellow journalism.
Right.
And much, of course, much of what we talk about today, and we have a whole section in our books where we talk about what's called junk food news and news abuse. And these are essentially very similar stories. In that regard, the only thing I think that has changed significantly is the sheer ubiquity or mass output of this kind of information. Television is the prime source of news for people, although the Internet, of course, is very quickly catching up to that.
Yes.
But people's habits on the Internet don't tend to be much different than they are in terms of their corporate mainstream news media sources on television, or even, you know, some newspapers. So people still tend to have some of the same habits. So one of the things that's changed, again, the ideas of there being concentrated owners, and you mentioned the advent of radio. Radio, you're right, doesn't commercialize until the 20s. It was a very different medium for quite some time, but it became obvious early on that the radio could be used as a device of mass communication to sway public opinion.
Right.
Whether it was through advertising or through controlled news, and I'm sure you remember the War of the Worlds story, and
sure,
you know, all these kinds of things. So, you know, media really can be used for propagandistic purposes, And one of the roles that we believe we have at Project Censored, and we share this with other media watchdog groups, is that, you know, we believe that the public simply has a right to know what's going on, and that the public should be media literate to the point that when they do watch a certain program or consume a certain type of news information from media, they should know where it's coming from. They should know what the situation is. They should know what the potential biases are. Granted, this might take time to build up, this kind of background and context, but we really think that this is something that should be part of a broad public education campaign so that the public is less susceptible to campaigns of misinformation or disinformation, and we can actually have a society that really thinks more critically about the information it receives, because the information that we receive from these major corporate news sources, remember, these are the ones that trumpeted weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that didn't exist, that leads us to this ongoing war where we still are. We're still in Afghanistan. These were all somehow linked to 9/11. They were linked to bogus information. They were trumpeted wildly and unquestioningly by most of the corporate media. And that's just one example in, you know, the very recent past, where the failures of media and the failures of the free press have really led us into some very precarious situations, where we're not only talking about the deaths of Americans and the destroying of many American families and people's lives, we're also talking about a fiscal calamity that's attached to the war, where we're borrowing, you know, trillions of dollars from other places to try to pay for these types of wars of occupation. And again, they're based on a root of misinformation. So even if one does support war efforts or so-called humanitarian war efforts, which is a very Orwellian phrase in parts of the world, we strongly believe that people should be told the facts of what's happening, why we're involved in these situations, so that the public really can make up their mind about them. So one thing that I think is more problematic now than 100 years ago is the sheer ubiquity and easy access and dissemination of this kind of top-down managed news and propaganda. And there seems to be less debate, less avenue of disagreement for people to just make up their own minds about what might really be happening.
All right. My guest is Mickey Huff, author of the book Censored 2010, the top 25 censored stories of 2008 and 2009. And let me stop you right there, Mickey, and ask a question of you, because what is the role of the citizen journalist in this new media landscape? Because we've got blogs that are proliferating every single day. People with their opinions are able to share them any way that they can over the internet. In fact, we've got a lot of non-corporate sponsored opinions that are floating out there, some of them good and some of them bad. So what is the role of the citizen journalist, and how is that going to change or even break up the monopoly of corporate-owned media?
Well, we increasingly believe that corporate media is irrelevant as a news information source because of its private for-profit motives, commercial entertainment and infotainment nature and so forth. So citizen journalism really does play a crucial role. But it leads to another problem and another dilemma that we also have with corporate media, and you mentioned it. And that is that while there are a vast number of sources proliferating, there are more avenues for people to get information, the question we're commonly asked at Project Censored is, whom do we trust? Whom do you trust? And this requires, of course, building relationships with sources that are based on transparent sourcing, factual argumentation devoid of fallacious reasoning. Again, we go back to basic critical thinking skills. It's a good thing that we have a lot of different views floating around in the blogosphere, but it, like you said, it can also be very overwhelming and confusing for people, and it also represents another phenomenon of yellow journalism from 100 years ago, and that is opinion journalism tends to rule the day. And we tend to see more and more studies indicating that people tune into programming that tends to agree with their worldview rather than just information that they can actually use to potentially attenuate their world view. We work with many different people. David Matheson is one of Be the Media.
He's been a guest on our show, just to give you an idea, Mickey.
He's doing great, great things encouraging people to be citizen journalists and giving them the tools required to do that kind of thing. But again, I think there is responsibility within each of us individually that we need to be serious about educating ourselves, being fair and honest with ourselves about the kind of information we get, and we have to really seek and ask questions and challenge our own types of biases and beliefs. And in this regard, again, I think that the places like the blogosphere do offer hope, but you do end up a little bit with the needle in the haystack problem, right? Sort of like, where do you go to look? So on our website at projectcensored.org, a few years ago, we did a conference called the Truth Emergency Conference that talks about how we are awash in a sea of information in our society, but we have a positive understanding of what it all means, and we're often unable to contextualize or connect dots to some important stories, which is what we believe journalists should really be doing. And we have so we set up over 300 journalists and academics and activists and so on came to this conference, and they all offered their suggestions for what they consider to be the most trusted independent news sources, so non-corporate. That doesn't mean non-biased. It means they're not corporate. They're independent agencies. They report on their own. But mm-hmm. they are places that report transparently, factually. They source material. And we compiled a list of it and made it available to people as an RSS news feed on our website. So at projectcensored.org, you can go to Independent News We Trust. And then there's an aggregate of over 20-odd different news agencies. There's a hard news section, and then, of course, there's an op-ed section. But even in the op-ed section, we focused on what are the main views that the American public isn't hearing? Where are their viewpoints and opinions that are historically valid and factually supported that the corporate media ignore or don't give much time to? So we have a place at least for people to get started along this road to media literacy. And there are more news stories there published on a daily basis than you'll see in the New York Times.
Sure, so, just because of the limits of space on the New York Times. My guest is Mickey Huff. Mickey, give me some ideas of some of the trusted independent sources that you've got listed on your website.
Well, we have some sources. You know, we have Amy Goodman from Democracy Now, who has certainly what you'd see as almost a more traditional kind of news program with in-depth interviews, analysis, these types of things. You know, we actually have even the BBC, which some people say, hey, well, that's the British government. That's a biased website. So, again, what we're not saying that these are unbiased sources per se. We're saying that they do have some type of connection to journalistic principles. We have News Trust. We have links to even some of our own reporting about the Fair Share of the Commons heritage, about news from the Commons. We have Global Research out of Canada that has news and editorial pieces, mostly from scholars and researchers, that have a very critical view of empire, of neoliberalism, and so forth. Again, these types of views that you often don't see in the corporate press. And the URL directly for our RSS page is censorednews.org.
Censorednews.org. Now, Mickey, did The Economist make your list of trusted independent sources?
No, The Economist did not, because it's a pro-neoliberal publication. So we didn't include it there because it's also a fairly widely read publication. You'll notice other magazines, too, like even Harper's isn't here, even though it's somewhat literary. We don't have Time or Newsweek here. We don't have The Atlantic here, those types of magazines. And again, it's not because we don't think they provide a service, but we think the views that are represented in those publications are widely trumpeted in the corporate media. And what we're trying to do is give people access to news and information and views that are largely outside of those dominant publications.
Got it. All right, that makes sense. My guest is Mickey Huff. He is the author of the book Censored 2010, the top 25 censored stories between the years 2008 and 2009. So let's talk about one of the stories that actually caught my attention there in the book, and I thought it was interesting. So let's discuss it. In the book, you've got an article, Why Are U.S. Schools More Segregated Today Than They Were in the 1950s? Talk to me about that. Why is this not being reported, and how is that fact so?
Well, this is an interesting story that was based on a study. It was done from the UCLA Civil Rights Project, and they looked at school segregation issues since Brown v. Board, and discovered that there are huge percentages of people, of course, that are not, you know, graduating. Few people are well prepared, and they're also looking at this phenomenon of how they're more segregated than they were decades ago. So this is something that you'd think would be headline news. Just simply for historical purposes, just simply to say that history is an interesting thing, just like media and news. When people hear it or see it reported, we're kind of conditioned to not question it. We're sort of led down the path of saying, oh, Well, gee, we ended school segregation problems back in 1954 and through the 1960s and so forth. And so public schools are fine that way now. By the way, the same group also studied charter schools, and they're finding the same problems. So, in fact, this year in the 2012 book that we're just finishing, we have more reports and updates about these stories. And we just want to call attention that we believe that the public has a right to know that some of these kinds of issues that we thought were historical problems that we addressed have a funny way of creeping back when we stop paying attention.
Uh-huh.
And we just think that people should be aware that segregation can lead to issues of inequality.
There you go.
We think the public has a right to know that. Whatever your view might be on the issue at large, we think people have a right to know about it.
And that's fair. My guest is Mickey Huff, author of the book Censored 2010 and the new soon-to-be-released book Censored 2012. Mickey, if people are interested in you, if they're interested in Project Censored, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The easiest place to get us is projectcensored.org with all of our sister sites linked there. And we also have over 30 colleges and universities around the United States that help us do research. Any of your listeners can nominate a story through projectcensored.org. We invite participation. We invite citizen participation. And, you know, we really hope to work together more with people, you know, like you that do these really important public service types of programs, and colleges, universities, and educators all across the country, so that we can help combat problems of media censorship and just give people, again, more of a fair chance to know what's going on in their own society.
That is great. My guest has been Mickey Huff, who is head of ProjectCensored.org. Mickey, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.